Morning, church. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 106. Psalm 106, we're returning back to the book of Psalms for our public scripture reading this morning. And in many respects, this is a psalm that is a counterpart to Psalm 105 that Pastor Jerry taught us from a couple of weeks ago. But whereas Psalm 105 recounts God's covenant faithfulness to Israel, Psalm 106 recounts Israel's covenant unfaithfulness to God. And the structure of the psalm is pretty straightforward. It opens in verses 1 through 5 with a call to praise the Lord for who he is and for what he has done, and with a prayer for deliverance, that God would save his people from their troubles. After this introduction, the psalmist then enters into a long discourse where he confesses the many sins of Israel to the Lord. And this survey of the nation's sins begins with their deliverance from Egypt, moving into the wilderness wanderings and stretching into their possession of the promised land. And mixed in this history of Israel's disobedience are also descriptions of the Lord's various judgments and chastisements, God not utterly destroying them, but reproving them for their sin and continually bringing them back to himself. And finally, the psalm ends in very much the same way in which it began, with a call to praise the Lord and a request that he would deliver his people, that he might gather them again from among the nations. But even in the midst of the psalmist's confession, even as he is recounting sin after sin after sin, the one reality that shines forth with intense brightness is the mercy and faithfulness of God, the long-suffering, the forbearance of God towards his covenant people. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, that if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God remains faithful. This is the theme of Psalm 106. So with that overview in place, I'd like to set before you two undeniable truths which we see expressed in this psalm. Firstly, God is just. As forbearing as God is with Israel throughout each of these instances of rebellion, his justice is always present. It's always there. It's lurking on the surface for us, reminding us and also the Israelites at the time of God's uncompromising holiness. And there are at least eight different unique occasions of sin and judgment that are given to us by the psalmist, but I want to look at just one of those now as a sample of a pattern that we read in the psalm. In verses 8 through 11, the psalmist recounts God's deliverance of Israel at the Red Sea. And as you'll remember, the Egyptians had pursued Israel, following them into the Red Sea, which the Lord had parted as a pathway for them. But once Israel was safely on the other side, the Lord brought down the waters upon the Egyptian army, destroying all of them. Now, having just experienced this, having seen God's miraculous deliverance once again, you would think that Israel would become confident in the Lord, that they would trust in his providential care. But no, almost immediately, they begin suffering from memory loss. Look to verse 13. But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to the test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. So we see the rebellion, forgetting God's works, not waiting for his counsel, having a lustful, covetous craving for meat, refusing to be satisfied with the manna from heaven that God had mercifully provided for them. And because of this sin, we see the judgment. God sent a wasting disease among them. So friends, God is just. God is holy, as we just heard. God is good. And this means that he must punish sin. Which leads us to the other undeniable truth expressed in this passage. Not only is God just, God is merciful. If not for his mercy, God would have abandoned Israel like they had abandoned him so many times. And he would have had every right to do so. He had no obligation to continue to care for them, to continue to preserve them, to defend them against their enemies. God didn't owe the Israelites anything but judgment for their sins and for their covenant breaking. Remember, the wages of sin is death. But let us not fall into the trap of looking down our noses at Israel here, of seeing their unbelief, their grumbling, their rebellion, and thinking that we are somehow better than they are. Saints, we are here in this psalm, and all too often we are the unbelieving people of God. All too often we are the grumbling people of God. All too often we are the rebellious people of God. And how patient he is with us. How long-suffering and forbearing he is with us. So praise God that he is not only just, that he's not only good, that he's not only righteous, but praise him that he's also patient. He's also loving. He is also merciful. And friends, God's mercy, his saving mercy, it is expressed by way of covenant. And to be in covenant with God is to be one of his children. It is to be a beneficiary of his loving kindness. And we see this covenant language expressed in this psalm. Look with me to verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Your people, your chosen ones, your nation, your inheritance. The psalmist isn't talking about the heathen nations here. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about the people whom God had entered into covenant with. They were the ones who were the special recipients of his mercy and grace. But even when they had been brought under the old covenant curses, because of their iniquity and because of their disobedience, the Lord remembered them. He remained faithful. Look now to verse 44. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake, he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. God remembered his covenant. He remained and remains faithful. Friends, our only hope as sinners is God's faithfulness to his covenant promises. And for every member of God's new covenant, he has promised that he will never cast you out. He has promised that you will persevere and that you will be preserved until the end. And in his new covenant, God has not promised an earthly land, but a heavenly land. In the new covenant, God has not promised that you will be born of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed. And Pastor Jerry, he mentioned this to us a couple of weeks ago when he taught us from Psalm 105, but I think it bears repeating here. There are no potential blessings and potential curses in the new covenant like there were in the old covenant. In the new covenant, there are only effectual and realized blessings in Christ Jesus. So friends, are you in the new covenant this morning? Have you turned from your sin and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith? The Bible tells us there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Do you have Christ Jesus as your mediator this morning? Is he advocating for you this morning? Is he there for you like Moses was for Israel in this psalm? Look for a moment with me to verse 23. Therefore, he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them? Friends, has Christ stood in the breach between you and God and turned away God's wrath that is due to your sin? Has Christ, as it were, placed his hand on God and on you and made peace? If he has not, flee to him. Take hold of Christ because he's offered today to you freely because God is merciful. With those things in mind, let us read the word of God. If you're able, please stand. Psalm 106. Hear the word of God. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty deeds of the Lord or declare all his praise? Blessed are they who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, when you show favor to your people. Help me when you save them, that I may look upon the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may rejoice in the gladness of your nation, that I may glory with your inheritance. Both we and our fathers have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. They did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love, but rebelled by the sea at the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make known his mighty power. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it became dry, and he led them through the deep as through a desert. So he saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. And the waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them was left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. But they soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but they had a wanton craving in the wilderness and put God to test in the desert. He gave them what they asked, but sent a wasting disease among them. When men in the camp were jealous of Moses and Aaron, the Holy One of the Lord, the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered up the company of Abiram. Fire also broke out in their company. The flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb, and they worshipped a metal image. They exchanged the glory of God for the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them? Then they despised the pleasant land, having no faith in his promise. They murmured in their tents and did not obey the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised his hand and swore to them that he would make them fall in the wilderness and would make their offspring fall among the nations, scattering them among the lands. Then they yoked themselves to the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They provoked the Lord to anger with their deeds, and a plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stayed, and that was counted to him as righteousness from generation to generation forever. They angered him at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips. They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them, but they mixed with the nations and learned to do as they did. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they became unclean by their acts and played the whore in their deeds. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against his people, and he abhorred his heritage. He gave them into the hand of the nations so that those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were rebellious in their purposes and were brought low through their iniquity. Nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant and relented according to the abundance of his steadfast love. He caused them to be pitied by all those who held them captive. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the peoples say, Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy and infallible word. You may be seated.